It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a sign of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Welcome into the show. It was a fun and busy weekend for the Honda teams. We had the on-field result from the Astros. The Texans made a couple moves to bring back some familiar faces. And we wait as the trade deadline is fast approaching to see what the Astros do. After sweeping the Rangers, never trailing throughout, just decimating the Rangers. Yordan, chief among them, the players out there, as he continues to stake his claim to the MVP. And now with the Astros 2.5 games up in the AL West, there are no real obstacles to keep Yordan from winning that award as he continues on the pace he's going at. And now the question is, after watching that team beat what was the best team in the AL going into the series, are you going to be dissatisfied if there's no move made? There have been reports over the last couple of weeks that the Astros are going to be looking to improve. Now you see a team that has a 2.5 game lead in the West, and the question is, how do they see themselves? Because how big will this move be? We scoffed at reports maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago now that they were in on Skubal and Sonny Gray. Nightingale reaffirmed that this weekend, but the Astros, as you know, by not being actually involved with the Dodgers acquiring Skubal, they found that particular tier of pitcher a little too rich for their blood. So Nightingale threw out a different name, and Robbie Ray, as a guy that the Astros could look at. And Robbie Ray's been fine this year. The whip is okay. But I believe when I checked, he was 10-6. So if you're looking for a potential add, with Nightingale being someone in tune with the Astros, they would be quite pleased, according to him, with a Robbie Ray. So we wait and hope. I wonder how pragmatic they'll be, because if we look at the Rangers, according to Ken Rosenthal, we're using this series as a bit of a gauge about what they would be willing to do. And a sweep at the hands of the Astros may have put the Rangers off, and they could be sellers, according to Ken Rosenthal. That's a team that came into the series not being very confident about their chances of getting anything out of the season beyond winning the division. If you're leading a division and you're still thinking about, hey, you know, if this series doesn't go a certain way, we could be sellers, that was already in your mind. And you know what, Rangers? I'm not going to fault you for thinking your team's not very good, because I just saw it. Your team's not that good. And sure, the Astros are hot. They have won in a way that they haven't done all year. I think this is the first time since 2024 they've won 6 in a row. But coming off that sweep to open up the second half of the series where they were swept, what is it now, 11 out of 12 that they've won? That's how good they've been. So it's clearly their best run. You're getting the contributions from your consistent stars and Jeremy Pena and Yordan, and you're finding guys that can chip in. You had Taylor Trammell making a great play in the outfield yesterday early. Peter Lambert saluted him. You have guys like Lamont Wade who don't particularly hit well, or at all, when no people are on base, finding ways to contribute when guys are on, particularly Lamont Wade with the bases loaded. Now what do we do? We hope for starting pitching help. Christian Javier will go tonight. He will be the replacement for Imai as they've moved, it looks like, permanently, at least for now, Imai to the bullpen. So Javier, after his strong performance in relief of Imai, will now start against a Blue Jays team who did a little bit of both. They traded a guy, and they brought a guy in. They traded Gausman over the weekend, and then they brought in Soriano from the Angels. So the Blue Jays, a good baseball team, comes to town. They were mere outs away from winning the World Series. So they, considering where they are in the standings, are going to be, I guess, buyers and sellers. But they do bring in Soriano. Odd. It's odd for me to think, to look at the Blue Jays, how bad they are. I get the trade of Gausman, but they do bring in Soriano. Because the AL is so bad, they're only four and a half games out of the wild card spot. So it's a little bit of both for them. The Astros will not be trading anyone away, according to Chandler Rome, from their active roster. At least that's what Jim Crane wants them to operate. He wants them to operate that way. There is the report that they were involved in a potential Twins trade that was scuttled by Jim Crane. There have been some questions about the validity of that report because no one's really ever heard of the reporter making the trade. Underdog picked it up. But if you read Chandler Rome's article today, I believe it was in the Chandler Rome article, there have been reports from sources you trust more that the Twins and the Astros were talking about. At least the Twins trade from their side was kind of killed at the last minute, so you can make your guesses that it was Jim Crane and the Astros who at the last minute backed out. But the Twins did have a trade. The question is, was Brian Abreu on the way there? And Jim Crane said, no, he's part of our active roster. He's not going anywhere. Brian Abreu, 2 months ago, would have been a guy people would have been happy to see somewhere else because of how poorly he had pitched. That is now different as he continues along with his teammates to put up good performances. So whether you joke about the silver boot or not, that was certainly clinched. But most importantly, this team is playing good baseball. And the question now is, how good do they think they actually are? Of all the jokes we like to make about the windows always open, no matter what, their faith, or at least that way of thinking, has been rewarded by the players as they continue to play well. So now the question is, does this team find a pitcher, whether it be a Robbie Ray's caliber or someone else, and the outfielder that they allegedly would have acquired if they had traded Brian Abreu? Do they find someone of that ilk to bolster a team that needs it? Whatever you think of this Astros team and what they can accomplish, if there are aspirations to be more than a division winner in the AL West, ads need to be made. I just wonder how much of a risk they're willing to take, considering the lack of depth in their minor leagues and their unwillingness to trade anyone off the current roster, if the recent reports are to be believed. But as far as the present Astros, you can't ask for anything more from them. And they may get a little help from a current Astro. All of a sudden, Carlos Correa, there's some smoke, mostly from, you know, the man himself, that he could come back. So we'll play that sound when we come back. Carlos Correa is making his way back. We thought that injury was going to be something to keep him out for the year. But he didn't say at the time, I don't remember the quotes, but I don't remember him saying specifically he's done for the year. But he was certainly down at the time because it was going to be a long-term injury. All of a sudden, with this team playing well, he senses an opportunity and he's trying to make his way back. I hope it's not that Aaron Rodgers scenario from a couple years ago, where Aaron Rodgers was hinting at coming back from an Achilles tear, and everyone's like, why would you do that? The Jets are terrible. I hope it's not that, except that the Astros are good, so Carlos Correa is really pushing it, because allegedly that's what Aaron Rodgers was doing. So are we getting a remarkable return, or is this a Fred VanVleet thing where he was never really going to come back? But Fred wasn't even practicing. Correa's out there doing baseball things in a slight way. Now, he said, we'll play the sound. I don't need to say what he said. We'll play the sound about a potential return. But he feels pretty good, likes how the team's playing, and hopes that he can come back. And this is perfect for Dana Brown, for everyone, or everyone who makes those jokes about, hell, we just got Wisniewski and Javier, and now Correa back. Those are deadline additions, yeah. Right there. If you like those jokes, you may have an opportunity to make them, particularly if Javier pitches well. If you don't make a trade before his start and he pitches well tonight, and Correa's saying he's coming back and Wisniewski just came back, you can always say, we just got two starting-level pitchers and a big-time infielder and a bat. Why do we need to make moves?
Who had a better deadline than us, huh?
The Dodgers.
Well, you know.
I know they're ruining baseball, but the Dodgers. The Dodgers had the best deadline.
Dodgers going to Dodger.
Are they a separate entity? We don't even consider them. Like, they're 29 teams and they're the Dodgers?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, the Dodgers. They're not even really a normal baseball team. Everyone else, let's grade the Astros against everyone else. I can see it.
Yeah, the other 28 teams. Like the 29-team league that is Major League Baseball.
Yes, it's this tier that the Dodgers occupy and then everybody else. I know the Mets spend a lot of money, but they do it poorly. So it's the Dodgers and everyone else.
The greatest PR for the Dodgers is that, like, hey, they're spending a lot of money too, right?
Like, Friedman was like,
it's not our fault, we're smart.
Yeah, Friedman was like, we're not ruining baseball. I mean, if there's a star player out there,
we get them.
We go get them. It is an interesting thing to look at the roster and go, do they have the best player of a generation from several other Major League Baseball teams? Like Freddie Freeman.
Oh, yeah.
Best Brave in a generation. Mookie Betts.
Yeah.
Best Red Sox of a generation. Scuba will fit that category for the Tigers. If you just start to look at who they've acquired, are they...
Ohtani.
Angels. Yeah. I mean, Trout's there, but sure. It's Ohtani, yeah. How many best players of another team's generation of players do the Dodgers currently have?
Edwin Diaz is their closer.
who's an original Dodger that's the best player of a generation that's currently on their roster? Like it would be Yordan, but he's here.
Yeah,
like if they had not traded,
or like Corey Seager.
Yeah,
but he's on the Rangers.
Yeah, if they somehow traded away two generational players and are just fine. Like guys who would like ruin other franchises
it would haunt the Astros forever if they traded Yordan
when he for some middle late reliever and Josh Fields type. Instead, the Dodgers have been just fine, which is what pisses people off, and they're allegedly ruining baseball. We know Correa has had his problems with past Dodgers. We'll hear from Carlos Correa when we come back. If you want to join us, the number is 713-780-3776. Also, we're giving away tickets to the listener appreciation party. We won't always ask you for show lore because, I mean, how deep is the lore really? But we will in this case. So let's go, and I'll remind you as we get closer to the time. 10:45 is when we'll give away these tickets, a pair of tickets to the listener appreciation party. We'll give away tickets all week long and into the next week as well. The question you have to answer at 10:45 is, we have a frequent caller. His name is Eric. He'll call in about a lot of things. Recently, he's called in to talk about rumors, but he uses a specific word that I've certainly commented on. If you know that word, call in at 10:45. You'll be caller 4 at 10:45. If you know the word Eric is talking about, you win the tickets, you know the word Eric uses, you get the tickets. And I guess that excludes Eric from this particular thing. So if Eric wants to go to the listener appreciation party, we'll set aside a pair of tickets for Eric. I don't know that he wants to be at a public event, but if he does, because I'm using something you say as a question, we'll give you a pair of tickets.
Your IP.
Too. Yeah. I know you love gimmick infringement, Eric, but since I'm doing it in this case, we'll give you a couple of tickets. So 10:45, the word Eric uses to talk about the rumors he's heard. You know the answer. You get a pair of tickets to the listener appreciation party. And then the rest of the week, we'll do it easy. All you got to do is call in at a certain point. So we're just getting started here. 713-780-3776. We got text and stuff. We got more Astro stuff. We will be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Yordan is your player of the month in the American League. 360, 9 home runs, 22 RBIs, and OPS nearly at 1,200. Somehow C.J. Abrams doesn't pale in comparison. He's been great as well. He's the NL player of the month. More home runs and more RBIs than Yordan. A little behind the batting average and the OPS. So there was some reports that C.J. Abrams could be someone the Nats move. They are not looking to, but they will listen, and we talked about it at the time. If you're a Nats fan, you got to be losing your mind if there's anything real behind it, considering he is one of the guys that came in the Juan Soto trade. The whole point of trading Juan Soto is to get great players, and then you might trade the good young player.
Yeah, they did it. Mission accomplished. They got the good young player.
Didn't say we'd keep them.
or win with them.
But now that we showed you we can, you know, trade a guy for good players in return, we'll do it again. Okay. We'll see if anything comes from that. And certainly, hopefully, the Astros, while unlikely to be in any C.J. Abrams trade conversations, maybe they can get a player that can help them win down the stretch, as Dana Brown has been given a mandate not to use anyone on the active roster to make a move. Let's hear from a guy who isn't on the active roster, but certainly hopes he can be again before the season is over. Carlos Correa had the ankle injury that we thought could put him out for the rest of the season. He is looking for a return. Here's Carlos answering questions from reporters.
In a really good spot. I don't feel it. We've been progressing into running and sprinting, and everything feels great.
Are you at all surprised at how fast you're progressing?
Well, as soon as I got hurt, I got on this protocol, and I started looking for all the information I could into how to speed up the process and the things that I needed to eat and, you know, how I needed to sleep and the type of treatment that I needed, and we've been doing a great job with that, so we're in a good spot.
How does the team being in first place now, I mean, sort of impact maybe your timeline, and you got a chance, you know, maybe things go well today?
The way we've been playing lately definitely motivates me even more to go out there, put in the work to try to make it back, so you know, we'll take it day by day.
What kind of are you able to do right now? You're running.
I'm doing everything but hitting, and I got an appointment on Tuesday, so with the doctor, so hopefully I get cleared to do that.
So tomorrow will be the day for that appointment. I asked a question at the time when we played it this morning. What's he got to eat? What do you eat to quicken the recovery from an ankle injury? I'm sure it's just the normal healthy stuff that you want an athlete to eat. But I was wondering, is it the ancient grains? Is it quinoa?
Is it a broken ankle?
Was it a tendon or a broken ankle? I don't
remember.
Because
if it's a then it could help some with calcium,
bone, with, yeah, with bone,
yeah, drink some milk.
Yeah, I thought it was a tendon, but maybe it was a broken.
That's
ankle.
All I could think of, though. I don't know how to fix tendons with food.
He tore a tendon in his ankle while taking swings. This was back on May 5th.
Food to regrow tendons.
So the original timeline was 6 to 8 months, which would have put him out for the season. Because we were joking at the time, why don't you just say season-ending injury if you're saying 6 to 8 months? But that wasn't in the cards to use that terminology. And maybe they knew something, that as long as the team got good, he could fight back and potentially be a part of a postseason for the Astros.
So to help repair and rebuild damaged tendons,
what do you eat?
Focus on foods rich in protein, vitamin C, and anti-inflammatory omega-3 fatty acids. So lean meats, bone broth, citrus fruits, and fatty fish.
All right. Maybe that's what Carlos has been...
Yeah, a lot of bone broth.
Been meal prepping over the last several months. to get himself in a spot to play.
Bone broth and oranges. That's he's been scarfing down.
I mean, tough recently with people questioning, could you eat fruit? But it was, but fruits with rinds that you have to peel, those were, I guess, safer.
Okay.
So he could have stuck with the oranges if he had any concerns about a potential parasite that caused explosive diarrhea. Oranges, he should have been fine as long as he...
Yeah, I think he's in the clear.
Yeah, so we'll hope he gets the clearance to start hitting, which is just another step in his return. So Carlos Correa may be back, maybe an unexpected add to an Astros team who's playing really good baseball. So they did lose someone yesterday while they're playing well, and they may add a player or two today. They lost Dan Hennigan. If you don't know who that is, that was the guy who was getting a lot of praise for the Astros offense very early in the season. You know, they moved away from Cintron last offseason, and they brought in Dan Hennigan, who was their director of hitting and offensive, and he was their offensive coordinator. He is now going to go to Wake Forest. So they lose him today. They'll have a guy you may not have heard of, because why would you? Chucky Caulfield will assume the roles. But Dan Hennigan, we were looking at that guy going, what did he do? Because the Astros went from a team who were disappointing last year hitting the baseball, particularly in the second half of the year, to a team who had one of the best offenses in baseball. That had kind of cooled down as their pitching staff continued to pitch poorly. But the bats were fine over the weekend, and the pitching has certainly gotten better. But Dan Hennigan, we hardly knew you. Now you're Demon Deacon.
Thank you.
We salute you.
This AL MVP that you wrote on is probably going to win. This one goes.
Does he mention?
Goes out to you.
Do you think he mentions?
You the real MVP.
Does he mention through an interpreter Dan Hennigan and what he did for him?
I think he gets lumped in with the staff, the coaching staff.
Probably. I would agree there.
I think Joe Espada and the coaching staff.
Yeah, you're probably right there. So John Morosi is reporting, at least through Twitter.
Wake Forest snatching our coach?
I don't know if he's becoming the manager or he's just working at Wake Forest.
I hope
it's the manager. What are we doing, losing guys to Wake Forest?
Wake?
So Morosi is saying the Astros are increasingly confident they're going to add a left fielder today. That was about 26 minutes ago. So there it is. So the Astros on the hunt for an outfield bat, likely, if Dana Brown has his wish, a left-handed bat, but they expect an outfielder to join the ranks. So as we get closer, hopefully that's the case. And if we find out before the show's over, we'll certainly let you know. The Texans did add a couple guys. That's confirmed. Mario Edwards is back, who was a rotational defensive tackle for them last year, and they bring back Jadeveon Clowney as well. Got a lot of people excited. Jadeveon Clowney's back with the Texans. He played for the Cowboys last year, was productive. So someone, of course, everyone somehow has compilations of everyone, even a rotational defensive end. Everyone has access to everything. So I got to see the Jadeveon Clowney mixtape from his time with the Cowboys last year.
How was it? Was it set to Meek Mill?
I didn't hear the music. Okay. Meek Mill has a new song called Nightmares and Dreams.
Yeah.
I saw that.
Things seem to be going well for him.
I haven't heard it, but he is dipping into
a 16-year-old song.
Yeah, it's a very popular song. Everyone loves it. It's a classic.
It is.
But now it's not very creative to call it Nightmares and Dreams. We'll see how when I get a listen if it's any good. But Clowney, a lot of his production was try-hard stuff. Like, he didn't get an initial rush on the quarterback, but his strength was enough to push the offensive tackle back a little bit. The quarterback holds on the ball. He makes a play. There's a naked boot sack where he's not fooled by the run fake and sacks a guy. It isn't – when you see the number of, like, 8-plus sacks, you're like, wow, he was really getting after it.
Yeah.
It wasn't that. It, at least four of the five sacks were, hey, a quarterback held the ball too long. Eventually, the offensive lineman is not going to hold off Jadeveon Clowney. He's still very strong, and he made a play. The highlights I saw, the run defense still there, which was, I think, always his greatest attribute. Yeah. So he is the perfect rotational defensive end. The Texans certainly needed it with no Derek Barnett back. There are questions about where they're going to find depth at that spot. They find it in an old face in Jadeveon Clowney, who wanted to come back to Houston specifically because of DeMeco Ryans. He saw a team that he wanted to play for and a coach he wanted to play for. It is pretty nice having, I don't know if you want to say rock star, but as a head coach, but a guy that has this approval rating across the board. No one says a bad thing about DeMeco, the former player. That's going to help with players who are currently in the league being a guy they want to play for. So having your guy be someone that is deemed, hey, I like to play for that guy, that's going to help you in potentially some of these free agent signings that are kind of even. Now, I'm sure the Texans being able to pay Jadeveon Clowney a pretty nice salary to be a backup defensive end certainly helped. Like, I mean, he got a good deal for what he's expected to contribute and how many snaps, I guess, will be the question, how many snaps he plays. But they add to their defensive unit. I don't know that there's any other weakness outside of maybe depth that linebacker, which they tried to fix also because they brought in Sione Takitaki. So they've done what they could in the spots we found a little thin. Now it's just a question of staying healthy. The backup linebacker spot was one that could not avoid injury. Jake Hansen, the latest. It was an ankle. We talked about it as it happened because we saw all the tweets about it from reporters out there. Turns out it's an ankle injury, which led to Takitaki being out there today. His first day with the Texans is a pads day, which gets a lot of people excited. I don't know anyone that says the guys are in pads and everyone's like, eh, whatever, big deal, pads. Everyone gets excited about pads. I mean, I say to myself, it happens every year.
Yeah, but today they're in pads.
No, every day they get in pads at some point in training camp. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, even Steve Smith, he was talking to Cam Wolf. I think he was at Dolphins camp, and Cam Wolf goes, pads tomorrow. Steve Smith's like, woo! I was like, all right. Okay.
It's pads.
I have pads, man.
You're playing real football.
See what happens out there.
First time this season.
As a player, I understand.
Yeah.
You're tired of being in a jersey with no pads and shorts. I get all that. But as just a general individual, are you excited? Are you excited the second day in pads too? Is it just a mention of the pads that gets you going? Because you might hear pads are popping, or you see a couple videos where it's real football.
The boys are hitting.
The whole today's a pads day for the first time is much like we actually have preseason football, and then by the middle of the second quarter, it's like, okay.
I think it's because we don't have to actually watch practice.
That's true.
Like, you actually have to watch the Hall of Fame game, you know? So I think just the idea of, like, man, pads on, first day of pads, I think that's what gets people going. And there might be some, like, nostalgia mixed in there. Like,
sure.
I remember my first day in pads.
It's the only.
I got my ass kicked for 2 hours.
Yeah, it was great. I think it wasn't my first day in pads. It was like the second. I turned my ankle in high school. I was like, oh, this sucks. Now I gotta be out for a couple of days.
Yeah.
So some actual news to report as far as the first day in pads.
Woo!
Keelan Rutledge was the center for the first play in team. So if that isn't some sort of clue, maybe it's not. Maybe tomorrow it'll be Jake Andrews as your first play starting center. But at least today, with the pads on, Keelan Rutledge is out there. So more evidence that the inevitable is on its way. Rutledge is going to be your starting center. And we'll hear from DeMeco Ryans when we come back on that. And a reminder, you know what? I don't remember if I said 10:40 or 10:45.
45.
Okay, 5 minutes away. We're 5 minutes away from giving away a pair of tickets to the listener appreciation party. Remember, we have a caller named Eric who, when he says he's heard rumors or reports, whether they be true or not, about a potential acquisition or transaction, he uses a specific word. If you know what that word is, be caller 4 at 10:45 and you win the pair of tickets to the listener appreciation party. We're giving away tickets all week long. All the other shows are as well, but this is your first opportunity from this show What word does Eric use when he's talking about rumors and transactions he's heard about? Caller 4 at 1045 wins those tickets. We'll do that. Well, that call will take place when we're back. But if you want to join us, that number is 713-780-3776. We'll hear from D'Amico Ryans on what appears to be his new starting center when we come back. But first, I want to talk about Aqueduct Plumbing Company, the place you go to when you've got a plumbing problem. It's pretty simple. You don't know how to fix a plumbing problem. Don't do anything to ruin your home. Let the people at Aqueduct Plumbing Company take care of you. Whether it's a leak that can turn into something that's much bigger, or you've got a big job that you need taken care of, Aqueduct Plumbing Company is the place for you. If you go to their website, aqueductplumbingcompany.com, you can see their services menu, and it shows you all the things they provide. They'll do camera inspections, leak detection, repipes, which are the big jobs. They've done over 1,000 of those. They are Houston's premier repiping company. You don't got to trust me on it. If you go to the website, you see it right at the top, the repipe company for Houston. They take care of you in that regard. And also, they do things like remodels, new construction. They're a plumbing company, but they clearly are able to do more for you as well. If you want to call them, the number is 281-488-6238. That's 281-488-6238. That's Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Just go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So Dustin, who is a Cowboys fan, he heard me talk about the Clowney highlight tape I saw. He said he's not sure what's on it, but he said he was a beast. I'm not suggesting he won't help. And yeah, the numbers show you he was productive last year, but with the 8.5 sacks, and he, how many games did he actually play? Eight and a half sacks. So that's a good number for any pass rusher. I just, when I watched him, it wasn't this player coming around the edge. And that really wasn't ever his game, honestly, not in the NFL. It was a player who showed strength and a guy who showed effort. And that's how he got to a lot of his sacks, at least. The run game stuff, that's kind of been his calling card since he's been a pro. But, he is a really good rotational defensive end. There's no question about that. And the Texans got a guy who a lot of people are familiar with, a lot of people are excited about. And if he's that guy again for the Texans, that's a great signing. Yeah. When you're backing up Zeno Hunter or Will Anderson.
He needs to be Derek Barnett, you know?
Yeah.
He needs to be last year's Derek Barnett.
Be impactful on the snap and the less than full-time snaps that you're going to get as a backup and make a couple plays, and he's certainly capable of that. Yeah. Capable of that. He showed that with the Cowboys last year.
And get that number 42 or whatever.
Off you.
Yeah.
Where are better numbers? Is there 90 on the Texans right now?
I mean, it should be Jadeveon Clowney. I know he's not actually at that level to just be like,
hey, give me my number back.
Yeah. To anybody, but off the top of my head,
take that fullback number off.
Yeah.
And put on a real defensive end number.
Give Lorenzo Neal his number back. And
There's not currently a 90 on the Texans, so there it is.
Yeah. There you go.
Jadeveon can go get his number back.
Saved himself some money.
There it is. Didn't have to pay anyone off. That's nice. Looks like do we have our winner?
Yes. I believe we have our
winner. We have our winner, so we'll do it again tomorrow, but also listen throughout the week on this show and other shows for your chance to win listener appreciation party tickets, because we'll be doing that at least for the next couple weeks. The party is August 28th. I do also want to remind you that it is Houston Restaurant Week's time. It's happening from now through September 7th, and you can think of it like a citywide all-star lineup, hundreds of restaurants with the prefix menus, and every time you eat, you help the Houston Food Bank dine out, do good, and check out the full lineup at Houston Restaurant Week's .com. So there it is. Let's get to one Kalen Rutledge, who is well on his way to becoming the starting center for your Houston Texans. I am kind of listening to myself and kind of listening to what's going on in the control room as our intern discusses how the how the contest went as people were trying to figure out who Eric is for some and what he said.
I would just say it wasn't exactly the first caller, wasn't our one.
No, I saw. I know we had four. I said caller four, but it might have gone past that.
It was caller four,
but some people had the wrong answer. For people who don't know, Eric uses the word rumblings. He uses the word rumblings to tell us that he's seen something on the or heard something on the street, what the streets are saying. Normally, there's no real backing behind it, which makes it funny. That's why rumblings is just a funny word for him to say, considering it feels like almost made up. Because have we remembered an Eric rumbling that had any fact behind it? The Pena thing's most recent where that was a thing that was out there that the Red Sox were sniffing around, but it was immediately debunked by, or at least maybe not debunked, that the Red Sox were looking. But the Astros said, no, we're not doing that. We're not trading Pena. I mean, he kept bringing that back up a couple times well after the Astros had let it be known they weren't trading Jeremy Pena. So we do have our winner. Tomorrow we'll do it again. That one will be more simple. We'll just have you call in at a certain time and get yourself some tickets to the listener appreciation party at St. Arnold, which is where we did it last year. All right, let's get to Rutledge. Rutledge out there with the ones, first play of team. Good sign that he's got a real shot, if not already the front runner for that job. Here's D'Amico Ryans on what he likes from his rookie center.
Keelan is a swarm player, man. I love it. Like, I love to see an O-lineman and pushing guys downfield, still fighting to make sure he finishes. I love his mindset. I mean, that's what it should be. He cares a lot. You guys see it standing to the side. We see it. I watch it all the time, try to highlight him, you know, in our team meetings because that's what we're looking for. You have that type of mindset at O-line. It's a problem for defenders because you're just a pest and you can't get rid of guys. And that's what he is. He's a nuisance for the defense, and that's what he's going to be for us. And I love every bit of it.
So that has been the conversation around him almost entirely, that he fits the profile of what the Texans want their offensive line to be. And then you heard D'Amico just throw the swarm on him, which for the most part has been exclusive to the defense. They wanted a more swarm-like attitude on their offense, and particularly at the line of scrimmage, and they look like they're getting it from Keelan Rutledge. I am waiting for D'Amico to say he's just a flat-out good football player. Like, whether it be knowing the scheme, the hand placement, all the things that Cole Popovich is working with him on, I'm waiting for that moment. I'm waiting for the swarm stuff to just be a part of what Rutledge is. That's understood. But also, you know, when I need to run behind him on third and two, and everyone knows we're running the football, he gets it done. When that happens, then the swarm stuff goes from being a training camp story to just an accepted part of who Keelan Rutledge is. Honestly, I got a couple more days of hearing about how tough he is and how much he drives guys into the ground.
It's first day of pads. We'll find out.
And apparently he's still causing a ruckus. Cool.
Yeah, yeah. That was – because there was a story, I think – I forgot. Was it from DJ? Apparently he put – Rutledge put Aziz on the ground.
Yeah.
And was enjoying it. And Aziz got up and was like, that's how you do it or something like that. You know, very classic, like, this is exactly what we're sold Rutledge's, and this is exactly how Aziz Alshayer would react to that of, like, everyone, you know, swarm mentality. Let's go. First day of pads.
I would agree. Like, if you're writing a novel about Keelan Rutledge, nothing has been surprising as of yet. This is the plot. It's been written out, and Rutledge is fulfilling in a way that doesn't. Hey, that's unique to the character. He would never do that. No. All that stuff.
So far, he hasn't had a
so no
hasn't had a plot twist.
Yeah, so far, no. I forgot what the phrase is because they were saying it about some people were saying it about Jean Grey. Character assassination. There's been no character assassination of Keelan Rutledge as of yet. That's good.
Yeah, no. The character assassination would be like, I don't know. I heard he likes avocados or something.
I know. Oh, man.
You know he wears reading glasses? Nerd.
He walked into camp with Gucci flip-flops on. Oh, no. Keelan.
Money that, changed him.
Yeah, that'd be character assassination.
The signing bonus changed him.
We have not seen that as of yet. Everything you're getting from him is everything we were told about. And you heard the head coach. That's what he's looking for. So that's great. That's great. And starting at least on the first day of pads with teams. So.
Yeah.
I don't know if they've hit on the pick, but as we've talked about, the Jake Andrews bar has been low, and Rutledge seems to be easily clearing it right now.
Yeah, I also am not going to, like, take too much. I mean, obviously it means he's at least in the mix for starting center, and I'm pretty sure that's who they want to win the job. But I've also been doing this long enough with Texans offensive lines where, like, the lineup shuffles a lot over the course of, like, what the first group is that takes snaps on any given day of practice. So I do also, like, put a little bit of grain of salt. Like, yeah, okay, today was the day. Who knows who will be tomorrow and who's going to be, you know, slotted in and out, whatever.
So Rolando is having an issue. He tweeted me and asked if he can get his number unblocked. I don't know that phone has the capability of blocking numbers. Now, you might have called in. And,
oh, that probably was.
And we got
called
the call,
in after the
and
winner.
We call, got the caller four, so we stopped taking calls because we have our winner. I would guess that's what it is because we don't block numbers. At least I don't think we can even block numbers with that phone.
Call in right now, Rolando.
Yeah, Rolando, try to call in right now. And if you get in, that means your number's not blocked.
Yeah. We won't give you anything.
Yeah, we don't have anything to give you. You can call in about, you know, your disdain over our phone practices. But I think if you called in right now, you would get in, which would just tell you that it's kind of luck of the draw. And unfortunately, over the course of however long you've been trying to call to win stuff, the odds haven't been in your favor. If that's you, Rolando, that's your clue that we didn't block your number. We just haven't. You just haven't fell into a spot where you could win. Sorry about that. And also sorry for the Hunger Games reference. I recently saw Ray Fiennes in that trailer, and that's why I said it. In fact,
they're making a new – the new one is going to have Jennifer Lawrence in it, right?
I don't know if it'll be like at the end of the movie or some type of I don't know. She's a voiceover person. I don't know how they're going to do it because it's set.
Or flashback.
Yeah, it's set years or flash forwards because it's set years before she's even supposed to be alive.
Oh.
It's the Haymitch story.
All right, cool.
The Woody Harrelson character, if you don't know who Haymitch is, for some people.
I definitely fell off after the first movie. So there's a lot of like,
well.
Uh-huh, sure.
Well,
yeah,
there
that
were,
sounds good.
At this point, you fell off after the first one. There have been three, there were three, was it three? Three more in the original series, a two-parter.
Yeah.
And then they've had a recent one with Rachel Ziegler, I think is her name. And now they have another one, another prequel.
I'll have to catch up.
You know, I think it's on, either it's on Max or Netflix. I forgot where they have those now. But, yeah.
Catch up so I can get the Haymitch story.
If you want. This is the
Haymitch. Is it not played by Woody Harrelson?
He is the original Haymitch, but this is supposed to be a prequel story, so they got... they went with the younger actor.
Not my Haymitch. All right.
There's okay. You've only watched one movie. I don't know if you can say that.
Well, I've watched the other ones. You just
didn't really.
Yeah, they've been at the gym. They're big those kind of movies.
Huh.
Yeah.
TNT or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I wonder why
USA or something.
Why they wouldn't just change it to non Hunger Games material? Maybe.
Yeah. It's just the certain TVs are just on
all those channels.
Channels. No one changes them. So there's Fox News, there's CNN, Hunger Games, The Meg.
What if it's just a Hunger Games marathon all the time? Yeah. It's not TNT or USA.
A Few Good Men was on.
Your gym has a specific Hunger Games
channel.
Yeah, like Hallmark, but for Hunger Games. Ray Fiennes. I was like, is this beneath you, Ray Fiennes? Apparently not. If Viola Davis can be in one, I guess Ray Fiennes can be in a prequel, too.
He's got a mortgage, right?
I'm sure. I mean, that Odysseus movie he was in I think it was either last year, a couple years ago, didn't hit the same as the most recent.
No. Well, I wonder why.
Imagine. Although, we're all fans of Juliette Binoche, right?
Right. Of course.
Eric, you're calling in. We honored you earlier. We'll get to you when we come back. Anyone else want to join us? The number is 713-780-3776. And I challenge anyone who thinks they're blocked by our phone to call in, even if you don't have a chance to win something. Trust me, we don't have the capabilities here. You've heard our issues before. You think we can block people? Certainly not on purpose.
This phone's from like probably
1998. That phone was there when this station's, not 97.5, when 1560 started. That phone system was there. We ain't blocking nobody. All right, we'll get to Eric and anyone else when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.